Have you ever felt just completely overwhelmed, like you're drowning in information?
Oh, definitely. That feeling of just noise everywhere.
Exactly. Trying to figure out what actually matters, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe you've been there, you know what you want to say, but
Yeah.
it doesn't quite land, doesn't connect.
Yeah, that resonance factor, it's crucial.
Well, you found the right place. Welcome to the deep dive. This is where we take your sources, could be articles, research, maybe even your own notes, and we really dig in.
We try to pull out those key insights, those essential nuggets.
Think of it as your shortcut, basically. A way to get properly informed, maybe find some surprising facts, and hopefully have a bit of fun along the way. Keep you hooked. Okay, so let's unpack this specific topic. Ever look at certain leaders and just wonder what their secret is?
That it's factor.
Yeah, what really separates someone who commands attention, who leads almost effortlessly, from someone who just, well, fades into the background?
It's a great question.
Today, we're doing a deep dive into a really powerful set of sources focused on communication for leadership and influence. And our mission, it's ambitious, sure, but I think it's doable.
What are we aiming for?
To help you transform from maybe feeling like a background player into a truly confident communicator, someone who leads, inspires, persuades, motivates.
And importantly, you don't need the corner office or a megaphone to do it.
Exactly. No power suits required.
And what's really compelling, I think, about these sources is how practical they are. They break down these complex sounding skills into actual steps, things anyone can do.
It's not just what you say, is it?
Not at all. It's so much about how you say it and, crucially, how you genuinely connect with people.
So what areas are we covering?
We'll look at five core areas that sort of build on each other. First, cultivating what's called executive presence. Then, mastering storytelling as a leadership tool. After that, applying persuasion using ethos, pathos, and logos of the classics. Then, encouraging engagement and accountability through communication.
Right. Getting the team involved.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, we'll really dissect the specific habits of highly influential communicators. What do they actually do consistently?
Okay, let's start with that first one then. Executive presence. It sounds a bit elusive, doesn't it?
It can feel that way.
That ability some leaders have, they walk into a room or even just join a video call and boom, attention, respect, admiration.
Almost like magic.
Right. But the sources are really clear on this. It's not magic, it's not luck, it's actually a skill you can cultivate.
Absolutely. It's about consciously projecting certain qualities. Confidence, credibility, clarity.
And why does that matter so much? What's the impact?
Well, think about it. Strong executive presence allows leaders to communicate their vision more effectively, right? To
Yeah.
inspire real confidence and trust.
Okay, so people believe in them more.
Exactly. And they gain respect, influence, almost without trying sometimes. It helps motivate and engage their teams much more deeply. It's like the silent language of leadership.
So how do you even start developing that? Where's the first step?
Often it's something people overlook. Nonverbal communication, your body language.
Like posture.
Definitely posture.
Yeah.
Standing or sitting upright, shoulders back, head up. Also, using open, purposeful hand gestures. Not fidgeting, but gestures that reinforce your points.
And eye contact, I assume.
Crucial, sustained, confident eye contact. These aren't just, manners, they're instant signals. They broadcast confidence and credibility before you even say a word.
So, practical tip: leading a meeting, sit or stand tall, make that eye contact, use your hands deliberately.
It immediately elevates how people receive what you're saying.
Okay, beyond the body language, what about how you speak?
This is key, and it's often counterintuitive. The sources suggest actually slowing down just a little bit.
Not rushing.
Right. Using deliberate pauses to let points sink in or to emphasize something important, and using clear, concise language. Cut the jargon.
Get straight to the point.
Exactly. Think about it. Instead of rambling or trying to sound smart with complex terms, a clear, confident statement hits harder. Something like, our goal is clear. Double market share in 2 years. We'll do it by focusing on customer satisfaction and product innovation.
It sounds much more commanding. Shows you're certain.
Precisely. It projects confidence.
Okay, that makes total sense. So clarity is key. But you also mentioned vision. It's not just being clear, it's being compelling.
Yes. Articulating a compelling vision. This isn't just stating a target. It's about communicating the purpose, generating excitement, showing the direction.
Painting a picture of the future.
Exactly. Clearly stating the ultimate goal, outlining the benefits for everyone, and really inspiring optimism. Imagine saying something like, I see our team becoming the market leader, not just for our products, but for how we genuinely change customers' lives. And we'll get there through teamwork, innovation, dedication.
You can almost feel the energy shift when someone speaks like that.
That's the power of a compelling vision, clearly articulated.
Now, does this mean you have to be, like, perfect all the time? This executive presence thing?
That's a really important point. And the sources actually argue, no, quite the opposite sometimes.
Really? How so?
True executive presence, genuine presence, isn't about being flawless. Real power often comes from authenticity, even showing vulnerability strategically.
Vulnerability. That seems counterintuitive for leadership.
It does, but think about it. When a leader admits a mistake or says, I don't know the answer right now, it actually signals huge confidence, the confidence to be imperfect.
Okay, I see. It builds trust.
Immense trust. If someone asks this tough question, instead of bluffing, a leader with presence might say, that's a great question. Honestly, I don't have the immediate answer, but let's figure it out together. That's powerful.
Right. It invites collaboration, too.
Exactly. And it's not just about projecting outwards. It's also about how you receive information. Active listening and empathy are critical components.
So not just waiting for your turn to talk?
Precisely. Really listening, trying to understand the other person's perspective, acknowledging it explicitly, maybe saying, okay, I hear your concern about X, and then responding thoughtfully.
So if a team member raises an issue,
you respond with empathy, something like, I hear your point, and I really appreciate you bringing this up. Let's talk about how we can address those concerns. It makes people feel genuinely heard.
That builds serious psychological safety, I bet.
Absolutely. And the last piece here is realizing presence isn't a one-and-done thing. It's not a destination you arrive at.
It's ongoing.
It's an ongoing process. It needs regular feedback. You need to actively seek it out from people you trust, colleagues, mentors.
And actually listen to the feedback.
Yes. Listen openly without getting defensive and then actively integrate it. Try asking someone after a presentation. Could you give me your honest thoughts on how I communicated the vision today? What landed well? What could have been clearer?
And then use that input next time.
That's how you refine it continuously.
So let's picture it. Leading a big meeting, new strategy. You've got the confident posture, the clear message, the compelling vision.
Mm-hmm.
You handle tough questions authentically. You listen actively to concerns.
So empathy.
And then you ask for feedback afterwards. That whole package, that's powerful.
It creates alignment, enthusiasm, inspiration. It's transformative for the team.
Okay, so you've got their attention with presence. Now, how do you keep it? How do you make things stick?
Now we get into the power of storytelling. It's fascinating how great leaders use stories, narratives to just captivate people.
Making ideas unforgettable, right? Beyond just the data points.
Exactly. Dry statistics often go in one ear and out the other. But a good story that connects.
You know, it's interesting. Our sources really emphasize this. We think logically with data.
Mm-hmm.
But the human brain seems fundamentally wired for narrative.
That's spot on. A well-told story can kind of bypass that logical filter sometimes and embed an idea much more deeply. It's about making people feel it.
So stories aren't just like fluff.
Far from it. They are incredibly powerful tools for connection and influence. They help leaders make complex ideas memorable, forge emotional bonds, align teams around a purpose, and actually drive action.
Okay, so how do you tell a good leadership story? Where do you start?
Every story needs a clear, relevant purpose. Before you even think about the plot, ask, what's my goal here? Inspire, educate, motivate, align.
Got it. Know your why.
Right. For example, teams facing a tough deadline, morale's low. Tell a quick story about another team overcoming a similar challenge. That purpose inspiration guides the story.
And then the structure. Does it need to be complicated?
Actually, the best ones often follow a simple, classic structure. Think. Beginning, middle, end.
Like a mini movie.
Exactly. Beginning. Set the stage, introduce the context, middle, introduce the challenge, the conflict, the turning point, end, the resolution, the outcome, and crucially, the lesson learned.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Beginning. Last year, our project team hit a major unexpected roadblock. Middle. We were seriously behind schedule. Tensions were high. People were starting to doubt we could pull it off. End. But by radically changing how we communicated, sharing information openly, and really supporting each other, we not only delivered, we actually discovered a much better way of working together.
Simple, but effective. You can follow that easily.
And to make that structure really hit home, the best stories feel personal and relatable.
Using your own experiences.
Yes, or experiences the audience can connect with. including genuine emotion, talking about relatable struggles, maybe sharing a time you overcame self-doubt. That vulnerability connects.
It shows you're human, not just a figurehead.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. And it makes the lesson more powerful.
Speaking of lessons, you mentioned that's key for the ending.
Absolutely. Don't leave them guessing. Explicitly state the main message or the takeaway. Connect the dots. After that project setback story, you might say, what this taught me, what I hope we all take away, is that open communication and real teamwork can get us through almost anything.
Spell it out. Got it. Any other tips?
Keep it concise. Focus on the core message. Don't ramble. Use vivid language. Help them picture it.
And delivery matters, right?
Hugely. Hmm. Practice it. Vary your tone. Use pauses strategically, maybe right before the big turning point to build suspense. Maintain that eye contact. It makes a world of difference.
So for you listening, imagine you need to motivate your team through a big organizational change instead of just presenting the plan.
You could share a story. A personal one, maybe, about overcoming a past change. Structure it simply, highlight the lessons, deliver it with conviction.
That could really shift the energy, couldn't it? Help them see the opportunity, not just the disruption.
It makes it human. It connects.
Okay, so we have presence, we have storytelling, but sometimes you need to actively convince people, right? Mm. Move them to agree or take a specific action.
Exactly. And that's where persuasion comes in. Successful leaders don't just rely on authority, do it because I said so. They persuade.
And the good news, according to our sources, is that these are learnable skills. Classic strategies, actually.
That's right. The powerful trio, ethos, pathos, and logos. Mastering these helps you connect authentically, communicate clearly, and convince effectively.
Let's break those down. Ethos first.
Ethos is all about your credibility, your trustworthiness. Are you believable? Do you have expertise? Do you have integrity?
How you demonstrate that.
You might reference your experience. In my 10 years managing similar projects, this approach has consistently delivered results, or highlight shared values. It builds that foundation of trust.
Okay, so ethos, credibility, what about pathos?
Pathos is the appeal to emotion, connecting with people's values, their hopes, their concerns, inspiring enthusiasm, empathy, a sense of shared purpose.
So less logic, more heart.
In a way, yes. It's about tapping into what motivates people on a deeper level. You might say something like, think about the pride we'll all feel when we achieve this together. Imagine the impact we can make. It connects emotionally.
Got it. Ethos is trust. Pathos is emotion. That leaves logos.
Logos is the appeal to logic and reason. This is where your facts, data, evidence, and rational arguments come in.
The hard evidence.
Exactly. Presenting market research, statistics, logical cause and effect reasoning. For example, market data shows competitors saw a 20% revenue increase after adopting similar tech. Therefore, this approach logically positions us for similar growth.
Clear, rational, makes sense.
Okay, now here's where it gets really interesting and really powerful.
How so?
Great leaders, great persuaders, they rarely just use one of these in isolation.
They blend them.
Absolutely. The most effective persuasion often weaves together ethos, pathos, and logos.
Can you walk through an example of that blend?
Sure. Imagine trying to convince your team to adopt a new system, you could say. Based on my experience leading these kinds of transitions, that's ethos, I'm confident this will improve our productivity. In fact, industry data shows clear efficiency gains, around 15% typically, that's logos. Now, just imagine how much smoother your workday could be with that extra time back. That's pathos.
Wow. Okay, you hit all three there. Credibility, logic, and the personal benefit, the feeling.
Exactly. That blend builds trust, ensures understanding, and creates emotional buy-in. It makes the message much more compelling and harder to resist.
That makes perfect sense. It covers all the bases.
It's a holistic approach to persuasion.
All right, let's shift gears slightly. We've talked about presence, stories, persuasion. How does communication create teams that are really engaged and accountable?
Yes. Engagement and accountability. We all know those teams are the high performers, right?
Definitely. But the source has stressed this doesn't just happen. It's intentionally built.
Precisely. Cultivated through very specific, effective communication practices.
And why focus on these two? Engagement and accountability.
Because they drive everything else. Higher productivity, more creativity, better problem solving, higher morale, stronger commitment. The list goes on. It's the foundation of a thriving team culture.
So what are the key communication strategies here?
First and foremost, communicate the shared purpose and vision constantly. The why.
Not just what to do, but why it matters.
Exactly. Help people see the bigger picture. You might say, look, our work isn't just about hitting targets. Every client we help benefits directly, improving their business, maybe even their lives. That's the impact we're making.
Connects the daily tasks to something meaningful.
Right. Second, you have to clearly define expectations and roles. Ambiguity is the absolute killer of accountability.
Everyone needs to know exactly what's expected of them.
And by when? Be explicit. Tom, your task is to finalize the report by EOD Thursday. Maria, you'll review and provide feedback by noon Friday. Crystal clear, no confusion.
Okay, clear roles. What else?
Regular constructive feedback. And the emphasis is on regular and constructive.
Not just the annual review.
Definitely not. It needs to be ongoing, specific, supportive, and crucially actionable. Not just good job, but I really like the detail in your analysis here. For next time, maybe add a short executive summary up front for faster reads.
That's specific and helpful. Makes sense.
Fourth, actively foster open dialogue and participation. Create a space where people feel safe to speak up, even if they disagree.
Encourage different perspectives, even the quiet ones.
Especially the quiet ones sometimes. Invite input. Encourage respectful debate. Say things like, I'd love to hear different views on this. What are we missing? Don't hesitate. Your ideas make us better.
Creates a culture of contribution.
Exactly. And fifth, don't forget to recognize and celebrate achievements, both big wins and small ones.
Catch people doing things right.
Yes. And be specific about what you're recognizing. Great work hitting that deadline, team. Special shout out to Lisa for her amazing coordination and to Carlos for ensuring the documentation was perfect under pressure. It reinforces those positive behaviors
That feels good and shows it's valued.
immensely. And finally, perhaps most importantly, leaders must model accountability themselves.
Walk the talk.
Absolutely non-negotiable. Meet your own commitments, admit your mistakes openly, take responsibility. If you miss a deadline, say, I promised you feedback yesterday and I failed to deliver. I apologize. You will have it by noon today.
Sets the standard for everyone else.
See?
Builds huge trust.
Exactly. When you consistently apply all these communication strategies, you build that motivated, accountable culture where people want to perform their best.
Okay, this has been incredibly insightful. We've covered presence, stories, persuasion, engagement. What ties it all together? What's the secret sauce of the most influential communicators?
Ah, the secret sauce. Well, the sources suggest it's not really a secret, but more about consistent habits. Powerful communication habits practiced deliberately.
And these are habits anyone can learn, not just something you're born with.
Absolutely. That's the encouraging part.
Yeah.
By consciously adopting and practicing these habits, you become more effective, more credible, more influential.
It strengthens relationships too, I imagine.
Definitely. Both at work and beyond, these habits build trust, inspire action, and help you connect more deeply.
So what are these essential habits? Let's list them out.
Okay, number one, active and attentive listening. We touched on this, but it's foundational. Giving full attention, eye contact, maybe paraphrasing back.
Like, so if I'm getting this right, you're suggesting.
Precisely. Shows you're truly hearing them. Habit two, clear and simple communication.
cutting the jargon again?
Yes. Plain, direct language, concise messages, summarizing key points, making complex ideas easy to grasp instead of corporate speak like optimizing
You
synergies.
say helping teams work together better.
Exactly. Much clearer, much more impactful. Third habit, authenticity and vulnerability.
Being real.
Admitting mistakes.
Yes, expressing genuine emotion appropriately. Saying things like, I made an error here, I take responsibility, and here's how we'll fix it. Builds incredible trust.
Fourth.
Empathy and emotional intelligence. Genuinely trying to understand others' feelings and perspectives.
Seeing it from their shoes.
Right, like saying during a tough change, I know this isn't easy, and it's okay to feel uncertain. Let's navigate this together.
Powerful. Habit five.
Confidence and conviction. Speaking decisively. Using assured body language, a firm tone, not aggressive, but certain.
Like, I strongly believe this is the right path, and here's why. Exactly. It inspires confidence in others. Habit six. Storytelling. We covered this, but it's a core habit.
Using relevant, engaging stories to illustrate points and connect.
Correct. Keep them concise and purposeful. And the final habit, number seven, continuous improvement and feedback.
Never stop learning.
Never. Actively seeking feedback, observing others who communicate well, integrating those lessons, asking, how did that land? What could I do better next time?
It's a constant refinement process.
Yeah, always.
So picture that leader managing a big change again. They're using all these habits.
Right. They actively listen to concerns. Habit one, communicate the plan clearly and simply. habit two. Admit potential difficulties authentically, habit three. Show empathy for the team's feelings, habit four. Speak with conviction about the benefits, habit five. Maybe share an inspiring story, habit six. And seek feedback throughout the process, habit seven.
That person's going to be incredibly influential, aren't they? The team feels heard, inspired, confident.
Exactly. It all works together synergistically. So if we kind of zoom out and connect all these threads, what we've really deep dived into today are the fundamental building blocks of influential communication.
The core pillars.
Yeah, exactly. We looked at cultivating that executive presence, the impact of storytelling, applying those persuasive strategies, ethos, pathos, logos effectively.
And then fostering engagement and accountability.
Right. And finally, understanding and really adopting those consistent habits of the most influential communicators.
So pulling it all together, what does this really mean for you, the listener?
Well, I think it means that mastering these strategies, cultivating these habits, it's not just about sounding better.
It's about impact.
Fundamentally, yes. It boosts your leadership impact significantly. It gives you the tools to truly inspire, motivate, and align teams with clarity, with confidence.
These aren't just theories, are they? They're practical tools.
Absolutely. Concrete, actionable things you can start applying right away to transform how you communicate and ultimately how you lead. You know, this raises a really interesting, maybe provocative thought to leave folks with.
Oh, go on.
As you focus on cultivating these powerful communication skills for your professional life, you know, leading your teams, persuading stakeholders, driving projects.
Yeah.
Just consider for a moment. How might these same skills, these same principles, profoundly enhance your most important personal relationships too?
That's interesting. Using them outside of work.
Imagine using active listening, empathy, clear communication, even storytelling, not just in a boardroom, but with your family, your friends, in your community.
Building deeper understanding and connection there too.
Exactly. How might mastering these tools transform not only your influence at work, which is important, but maybe the very fabric of your personal world, the quality of those connections?
Wow. That's a powerful thought, taking these skills beyond the office.
Something to mull over, perhaps.
Definitely something to think about. Keep practicing these skills. Keep refining them. The impact, as we've heard, can be truly significant. Thank you so much for diving deep with us today.